All right, church, let's read Luke 11:28 together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
He is a perfect father, and he loves his children dearly, personally, passionately. And this morning, we're going to continue our series in Luke chapter 15. You can go ahead and turn in your Bible there or take out the notes that you received when you came in. We're going to pick up there in verse 25 and go all the way to verse 32 in the second part of this series entitled The Story of Three Sons. Yes, the story of three sons. We met one 2 weeks ago. We're going to meet the other son today, and then we're going to next week come to the third son. And I hope you'll be here to be informed about that son as well. But even on a Father's Day like this, I'm reminded that it's a story, yes, of three sons, but it's also a story of a father. And this father is perfect in all of his ways. And in the story, he's depicted by an earthly dad. And we saw 2 weeks ago that this earthly dad was a good father. He was righteous. He was holy. He was upright. He cared for his sons and even made provision for them, like we read in the Proverbs that a godly father has an inheritance for his children and his children's children. But as we saw 2 weeks ago, the problem is no matter how good a father is, children still have to make decisions themselves. And that's hard for parents. But in this story that we're going to see today, you'll see that both of his sons that he loved so dearly. Remember, we saw this image that I'm sure there were times that he took them camping on the weekends. And there were times when they were in the Israeli wilderness and around the fire. And the father's heart just beat for his sons. And he was teaching them the Shema. He was teaching them the Old Testament. He was teaching them the Ten Commandments. He was teaching them the whole counsel of God, I'm sure, alongside his wife, their mother. But when these boys grew, their hearts turned away from their dad, which ultimately means their hearts were turned away from God. And you see in these two sons the story of humanity, because there's only two ways to respond in this world. One way is irreligion, like we saw 2 weeks ago in the rebellious son. The other way is through religion, which we're going to see today. And what might surprise you is the way of irreligion or rebellion, nor the way of religion, is the way to God's house and to his heart. In fact, today you're going to see the danger of angry religion. Now you realize this, right? I mean, maybe you know enough history, maybe you know enough about the religions of the world to know that religion can be deadly dangerous. I mean, it only takes a glimpse, right? We would all agree, we all know that the anger that we see in Islamic terrorists who are taking a religion and a book and seeking to wreak havoc in people's lives. Angry men, angry women in radical Islamic terrorism. But we would be amiss if we thought that that's the only place angry religion is found and people have been hurt by angry people who maybe even baptized in Christianity, which is the religion of our country. But just because someone is in God's house doesn't mean they have God's heart. Let me say that again. Just because someone is in God's house does not mean they have God's heart. And so we've all seen it probably to some degree or another. People within even Christianity, what I like to call Christianity-ism, who lives are characterized by explosive anger, sadly oftentimes towards each other. And even in history we see towards others. And so with the danger of angry religion in mind, would you stand with me as we see the solution, not only to irreligion and rebellion, but also the solution to religious bankruptcy? And it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 25 through 32. I'll read it and then pray for our time together. Now his, that is the father's, older son, the older son, we saw the younger son 2 weeks ago. The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he, that is the older brother, was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?" And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Let's pray. Father, we see your heart so clearly. And we need your son, Jesus, so personally, all of us. Whether we went the way of rebellion and irreligion, have mercy on us. Or whether we chose the path of religious, external self-righteousness and pride, in a sinful attempt to earn your favor, to reach you and to use you, not out of love, but out of self-worshiping narcissism. Oh God, have mercy on us and show us a better way. Show us, oh Father, the Jesus way. Make us more like you. Give us your heart and give us hearts like yours to pursue, to go after sinners and tax collectors and Pharisees and scribes, even of our day. And make us a church, I pray, that loves like you love, without compromising truth nor holiness, but in a way that only you can work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So the younger son, he went to a faraway country, away from the father and away from the father's house. And he had no shame about it. In fact, we saw 2 weeks ago that the younger son's story was a story of shame that eventually resulted in honor, because in that faraway land, he finally came to his senses. And remember, we talked about this. Sin makes you stupid, but grace makes you sensible. And it was there in the pig pen, in the pigsty, at the end of himself, at rock bottom, he remembered his father. And he repented in his mind and in his heart. And he went back home, even willing to be a slave. And his father said, "No way, not a slave. You're going to be a son." And so he went from shame by his own decision and choices to honor. But the second son, which we're looking at today, was just as far from the Father's heart as the first one. It was just more polished. And we tend to overlook the polished in our society and our culture. I mean, everybody knows binge drinking and drunkenness is wrong, right? Everybody knows that being involved with prostitutes like the younger son is wrong, right? But why is it that we elevate prostitution and we miss pride? How is it that we can elevate gluttony, which we would all say is wrong, but overlook greed? How is it that we can see someone in their external sins so clearly, but oftentimes miss our very own internal sins of the heart? And that's what's wrong with the older son. You see, the older son would have been honored and respected by people. Oh, look at how hard he works in the field. Look at how disciplined he is. And look at how many of the moral commands he keeps. But you see this, right? His heart wasn't in love with the Father. He only wanted the Father's things. And so, where is your heart this morning? The older son, he leaves the fields after a hard day work, probably 50, 60 hours a week, as disciplined and as hardworking as he was. And he comes back towards the house and he hears music and dancing. Now we know if you're a really good religious boy or girl, you don't listen to music and you don't dance, right? Or so we've thought. But what we've seen, that the God of the universe is a God of joy and the happiness. And he loves, especially when his lost sons, whether religious or irreligious, come home. And so he's throwing a party. We've talked about this in weeks past, right? We've seen it over and over and over again in Luke, that we as Christians are to be party animals, just not the wrong kind. No, we ought to be throwing the best and biggest parties for the glory of God and for the good of people. And we ought to celebrate. And so he gets there and he hears music and dancing, and it all starts right there with the internal issues of his heart. What is this going on here? And so he gets one of the servants. Come here. And he asks him, what's going on in the house? I hear music and dancing. What is this, like a disco? What is this, a go-go club or something? And so the servant responds, no, it's better. He's like, Remember your brother, the younger one? Do you remember when he was born and your dad held him in his arms? Do you remember that? Now, when a dad holds his child, whether girl or boy, his firstborn, there's something that happens in his heart. And when a older brother sees his younger brother for the first time, there ought to be something that happens in his heart as well. So what happened over the years that would cause the older brother to turn with such hatred and animosity and bitterness, and you'll see here in a moment, jealousy and envy towards his older brother? So much so that when it comes time to talk about him, he doesn't even refer to him as his brother. He says, this son of yours. And so, the servant tells him, your brother, remember? He's come home. And your father took the fatted calf. You remember the biggest one out that we had? No, we have to laugh for a moment, right? Truett Cathy would be happy. Right? That this is the plug for Chick-fil-A. This is why you should eat more chicken. And maybe if they had chicken, they would have killed the fatted chicken. But they killed the fatted calf, the biggest one. And this would have fed the whole village. I mean, this would have fed 100-plus people. The father threw a party, a celebration, and everybody ate steak if they wanted it. And they were dancing, and they were celebrating. And the servant just communicates that to the older brother, and he thinks the older brother's going to be like, yes, where's my steak? Yes, I want to go to the party too. But do you remember how he responded? He was lividly angry. And notice why he was lividly angry. Yeah, he didn't dabble in narcotics, but he was one of the most narcissistic men who lived. But it was cloaked in religion. And we love to talk about how bad narcotics are, and they are. But have we forgotten how bad narcissism is? Did you notice it in the text? I have never disobeyed your commands. I have never eaten the fatted calf. Me and my friends. It's what I call the I, me, my syndrome, right? Everything, even my religion, is about I, me, my. I use God to build my kingdom. I use God to get what I want. And so, just before we go further, it's good to have a heart checkup sometimes. Where is your heart? The path to God and his house is neither irreligion nor religion. There's a better way. And so the older brother is angry. He's angry because he's filled with pride. And he thinks, I've never been to prostitutes. But he is prostituted in his heart and put himself on the throne and gotten into the bed with other gods instead of the one true God. And that's just as bad and sometimes even more dangerous because you can miss it because you've checked all the boxes. But there's signs of it, right? And the signs are sinful anger and bitterness and envy and jealousy and self-righteousness. That's how it shows up. And it can cloak itself in Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or even, right, Christianityism. Like it cloaked itself in the first century in Judaism and those Jews that rejected Jesus, which, by the way, we've talked about this. This whole chapter is directed, though to all, primarily to the scribes and Pharisees. Remember, they were the ones in verse 1 and 2 that were grumbling and complaining that Jesus would spend so much time with those who hung out with prostitutes and so much time with those who were dabbling into narcotics and binge drinking. All the while, they themselves were about to, watch this, they were about to kill God the Son with rabid anger. Crucify him! This was the religious guys. And you've seen this, right, in your life? This is what happens when someone just embraces an external religion, which you can do in our country for honor and praise from other people. But we know this, right? Religion will not help you. And though you can keep things externally, people eventually find out that he or she was molesting children. But he was doing all the right things externally. Because religion can't cleanse the heart. It can modify behavior for a season. But religion can't cleanse the heart. Watch this. Only the Father's love through his Son Jesus and his cleansing blood shed on the cross and his victorious resurrection over death. That's the only thing that can cleanse the heart. And that is the way. Better yet, Jesus is the way. And he says, follow me. Now, some people think that the older brothers, God just does away with them. And we like to crack on the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're just this. But notice what the father does to the older brother. He comes out of the house, away from the party, and pursues the older brother in the same way that he pursued the younger son when he was coming back home. Don't miss this. God so loved the world, both the irreligious and the religious. And he pursues both, and so should we. And so he goes to his older son, and he says, the text says, he entreats him. He implores him. He essentially pleads with him and begs him, son, come to me. Come into the house. Celebrate with us. Your brother is home. And then the older son has the audacity to rebuke his dad. Look, dad. Look, dad. You're going to teach God something? As though you know more than him? As though your thoughts are higher than his thoughts? Your ways are higher than his ways? You think you figured this out through your religion, son? Out in the field with your hard work? No. He rebukes his dad. And then his dad still pleads with him. Listen. Brother, who was lost, he's been found. He was blind, but he sees. Son, he says to his older son, all that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. In fact, we remember, right, from a few weeks ago, he had already distributed all of his property to both sons. And so everything that the father owned was now given to the older son and the younger son. Now, granted, the younger son wasted all of it in frivolous living. And I'm sure in the back of the mind of the older son, he was thinking, and here we go again. He's already wasted my younger brother. He's already, this, your son, he's already wasted a third of the inheritance. And now he's bumping into my two-thirds, because you just killed the fatted calf and you've had a party, and that cost a lot of money. And you know what, Dad? What I really want from you is the same thing that my brother wanted from you. He just did it in a more shameful way. What I really want from you, Dad, is your stuff, your things. And now that I'm not getting it to the fullest, I'm angry. But the father, all the while, is happy and filled with joy and showing great compassion to both of his sons, desiring for them to repent. The younger son did, but the older son didn't. But what if he would have? What would that have looked like? If the older son would have come to his senses and said, you're right, Dad. I've sinned against you in my heart. And I am an idolater just like my younger brother was. And I repent and I turn. What do you think the father would have done then? I'll tell you what he would have done. Older son, come here. 2 weeks ago, you saw me and my second, the youngest son. Older son, come here, come here. And by the way, he's not like this, but just pretend with me. Let's say he came to his senses and he realized that his heart was filled with envy and jealousy, and he was filled with pride and self-worship, but he understood and he came to his senses and he came in the house. How do you think I would respond? If my older son came home, what do you think I would do? Here's what I would do. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to do it in front of everybody. All right. Remember, that's what the father did to the younger son. He kissed him. Is that okay that I did that in front of everybody? All right, sit down. All right. And we talked about this, right? Loving affection is a God thing. It's a God thing. And he is a good, good father, and he loves his children. And he wants their hearts. Does he have yours? Does he have yours? And if he doesn't, Give it to him today. Let go of irreligion and rebellion. It's empty. There's no salvation in that. You think it's heaven to be with prostitutes? You think it's heaven to be in your drunken stupor? You think it's heaven? It's not heaven. It's a lie. Let go of your religion. It can never cleanse your heart. And though other people may not see it, you know what's going on. Let go of religion and this idea that all religions are the same. No, they're all bankrupt. Jesus is the way. It's a better way. Let go of religion and embrace the Messiah. All right, so in summary, here we go. Your outline. I'm just going to go through these quick. You ready? In summary, number one. All right, number one. Do we have them? We froze up. Okay, so I'm going to get my outline. Number one. First, I remember number one. God is after your heart, isn't he? God the Father is after our hearts. Second, we can be in the Father's house but not share the Father's heart. You think about these. You reflect on these this afternoon. Number three, neither irreligion nor religion can bring us true life. Number four, neither rebellion nor mere external righteousness can free us from ourselves. Number five, duty for God without delight in God, listen, is dangerous. Number six, is your service driven by your love for God or your desire to get things from God? Is it driven by your love for Jesus or your desire to be honored, recognized, and praised by people? These are things to think about. Number seven, beware of the fact that pride and self-righteousness can blind you from the true condition of your soul. Number eight, it's easier to see other people's external sins than it is to see our own internal sins of the heart. Number nine, when you sense sinful jealousy, envy, ingratitude, sinful anger, and bitterness in your heart, don't let it go unconfessed and unrepented of. Number 10, sinful anger and grateful joy toward God cannot coexist. Number 11, if you don't love your repentant brothers and sisters in Christ, something's wrong with your soul. Number 12, whether it's prostitutes or pride, gluttony or greed, narcotics or narcissism, binge drinking or bitterness, unfaithfulness or unforgiveness, all of these sins can only be paid for and forgiven through Christ's death and resurrection. Number 13, God the Father pursues even the prideful, self-righteous, and angry people of this world so that they might experience his eternal goodness, love, and blessing. And then lastly, and I'll close with this, will you come today to the Father? Will you come to the Father and share in his heart? This is what Luke 15 is getting at. It is a story of three sons and a loving, gracious, compassionate, holy Father who is pursuing us even today. Would you pray with me? Father, I know that in a room like this, there may be some who are right now on the path of rebellion. And I pray that you would grant them grace and open their eyes, Jesus, to your goodness and to your welcoming arms. And Father, I know in a room like this, there are some who are probably pursuing religion. And maybe even their religion of choice is just the functional form of Christianity. And I pray that today you would free them from themselves and that they would follow you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward now. And I want to encourage everybody who's here this morning to respond as God leads you. You respond to him. If you're becoming a follower of Christ today for the first time, we would love to talk with you up front. There'll be some of us here that are available to pray with you if you would like to. I'll be here Lane, if you would join me over here, and then maybe Tommy, if you could join me over here. If there's any way that we can pray for you this morning, we would love to pray for you. But all of us can respond in song and in praise and in worship. And let this be a time, Christian, that you connect with the Father and ask Him to continue to cultivate His heart in you.